back, folks. Rex Jones will be joining me in studio momentarily, and we'll take your calls throughout this second hour as well. But we have some updates to the pipe bomber case that I want to get into. From the Gateway Pundit, stunning update, Jocelyn Ballantine, the lead attorney assigned to J6 bomber case, notoriously pressured the Proud Boys to lie about Trump's involvement in January 6 or face years in prison. This is one of these people that it doesn't make sense why she's still at the Department of Justice at all, let alone now in charge of the pipe bomber investigation. She was the one who would go to the likes of Enrique Tarrio or Stuart Rhodes and say, you know, you don't have to go to jail for 20 years. We just want Trump. You just have to connect us to Trump. That woman who used January 6 to both throw innocent people in jail for decades and to try to get Donald Trump is still employed by Trump for some godforsaken reason. We have questions about this that have just been put to the president that I want to go to. But first, I want to go to this video. It is from Corrine Clifford. I've never heard of her, but she seems like a responsible journalist. She apparently talked to the mother of the alleged pipe bomber, Brian Cole Jr., and relays that the mother does not believe that this was the case. We have other stories saying that Biden's FBI knew Brian Cole was the January 6th pipe bomber in April 2021. A lot of questions about this continue to go unanswered, and more questions are cropping up. First, let's go to Corrine Clifford, who apparently spoke to the mother of the alleged pipe bomber. And then when we get back on the other side, we'll have Rex Jones in studio, and I'll show you some of the latest questioning of the Trump administration about this pipe bomber case. But here's Corrine Clifford. Let's watch.
So my name is Corrine Clifford. I'm a very serious, independent journalist. If you know the work that I do, you'll understand where I'm at right now. I am in the neighborhood and Woodbridge, Virginia, where the alleged pipe bomber lives. I'm not doxing anything. It's a very cute neighborhood. And guess what? I just spoke to his mother, Delicia. And she's got a beautiful name, Delicia. And she's a beautiful woman. And she and I just cried together because she says that her son is innocent. I didn't tape record her. I didn't videotape her. I didn't set her up. I wrote a letter. I gave it to her. I gave it to the neighbors. If there's any information, everyone can call me and text me at 917-287-1314. But I want you all to know I live for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if a black man is accused of something he didn't do, I will spend the rest of my life on this news story. This is very banned and censored, dangerous news. Now, I don't know all the facts because I was told by journalists like Steve Baker 2 months ago that the pipe bomber was a white all-American lesbian female who allegedly works for the CIA. But I just knocked on Delicia Cole, the mother of Brian Cole Jr. I just knocked on her door. She answered and we cried together. So I'm not exploiting the situation. I'm telling you that I'm on the scene here in Virginia, in Woodbridge, Virginia. I'm not going to dox the address. I'm not going to get into this more. But if you can see my face, I take this very seriously. And I want you to understand that my journalism is real. I am here with someone that helps me a lot. He's a beautiful black man named Ethan. I don't want to dox him, but I do have a bodyguard with me and I have other people. One of the neighbors in this neighborhood threatened to punch me. A white man threatened to punch me. Another white man took my information and said if he had information, he would tell me. But Brian Cole Jr. has a dog that he takes really good care of. He keeps to himself. He's around 30 years old. Allegedly, he's autistic. I asked his mother, is your son a Trump supporter? Are you a Trump supporter? Of course, she wouldn't answer me, which I take as that they're not Trump supporters. But what I told her is that this time last year, I had, 2,158 American patriots arrested. And if her son is innocent, I will go to the ends of the earth to help him. She doesn't know what jail or prison her son is in right now. And I gave her a little bit of help in that direction. But this is a really serious news story. I'm not trying to look glamorous. I'm not trying to say I'm cool. My name is Corrine Clifford, and I do very, very serious news. And the backlash for this is going to be very serious, so stay tuned. So my name is Corrine Clifford.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back. but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, thealexhotour.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexhotour.com.
Now, back to our program.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, welcome back. Donald Trump, a couple hours ago, gave a press conference, took questions from the press, and made some pretty powerful statements. I'm going to go to a few videos of that right now while Rex Jones joins me in studio. How you doing, Rex?
Doing phenomenal. Great to be with you.
You were lost. The crew is running around, scrambling, trying to find you. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Cool shirt.
Yeah, I was taking a colloquial number two, so I apologize for that.
We won't ask. We won't go any further details than that. Okay, well, we got a lot to talk about today. I just got these videos. Brianna just sent this to me, as well as an update about the Tina Peters case. I want to go to these, but we were just talking about this Ballantine woman, who apparently is now in charge of the January 6th pipe bomber case. She was one of the ones who has basically been censured over and over for messing about with some of the January 6th trials. She provided altered documents to Sidney Powell, submitted an FBI interview report with redactions to information that was crucial to the case, according to in Wikipedia. When the U.S. government threw out the case against General Flynn, Ballantine declined to sign the motion to dismiss the charges against them. She was later assigned to the infamous Proud Boys trial. Ballantine and the Biden prosecutors made up evidence, pressured the defendants, and lied to court, planted evidence in the Proud Boys group chat, and led the charge to send innocent men to prison for over a decade each. And yet, for some reason, not only is she still working in the DOJ, but is now in charge of the January 6th pipe bomber case.
Well, it's kind of a greatest hits of the good guys list. You got Michael Flynn, you got the Proud Boys, and hey, this is the Justice Department. This is what we voted for. This is kind of a big win. So why is she still in charge of running any case? She shouldn't be running a hot dog stand.
She literally is the one who tried to get the Proud Boys to throw Trump under the bus, right? The whole point of the January 6th trials, a lot of them, and Stuart Rhodes, you know, testifies to this, that like they wanted them to involve Trump. They would say to them, hey, you know, you're going to go away for 25 years, but if you can help us connect this to Trump, I bet we could lower that a lot. So they wanted the Proud Boys to say, actually, Trump told us to do this. We were in contact with, you know, Trump associates to do this. So she was the one that was trying to get Trump over January 6th. Why is she still working there?
Well, I don't know. It's certainly not what I voted for. I don't think it's what anyone in the audience voted for. And you see these kind of swamp creatures, whether it's Todd Blanche or this woman, and they're the people in the seats of power. They're the ones that are in charge. I mean, it's a local case. It's different. It's not the federal government. I've been looking into that woman that, you know, kind of overturned that jury verdict on the Somali.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it interesting how the legal system always works out for the bad guys and never for the good guys?
Every single time. It really is, like, absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Now, Brandon just sent me a video. This is from a Mike Lindell TV reporter asking the president, and I guess his cabinet there, if the pipe bomber acted alone. So let's go to that video and see what the answer is. This is from earlier today.
Hello, entertain. I'm Kara from Lindell TV. Kara Kashnova, and I'm not fake news, just so you know. And everybody's talking about the pipe bomber over the weekend, the suspect that was taken into custody. I reported on Biden's kangaroo court for 4 years. And this is an important question to me. Everyone knows that J6 was the Fed's direction to set you and your supporters up. So my question is, what's your gut instinct about the new pipe bomber suspect taken into custody? Does your instinct tell you that he acted alone? And also, Mr. President, how do you feel about the lead prosecutor on the pipe bomber case? Jocelyn Ballantine is the same prosecutor that allegedly asked the J6er to lie to frame you for J6 when you did nothing wrong. What are your thoughts?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that question. It's sort of a statement, and I appreciate it very much. Jocelyn is being looked at. They all have to be looked at. What they're doing is So bad. This was a whole Democrat hoax. The whole thing was a Democrat hoax. And it's all being looked at. Appreciate that.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on this? Because isn't the first suspect not the suspect anymore? And now it's the new person and it's all weird, right?
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that he's like, oh, all these people have to be looked at. It's like, she is still employed in your DOJ. What? And she's like, the things these people have done are so bad. Okay, but she is still employed in the DOJ and is now in charge of the January 6th bomber case. So you're going to let her remain in power, continue to prosecute cases while you look at her? But you know what she did. She tried to get the Proud Boys to pressure them into convicting you for January 6th.
Like, right.
What does it take to get through to Trump? Like, what do we have?
Well, you know, Trump seems to treat his friends like his enemies and his enemies like his friends more and more, I suppose. And, you know, I'm pretty harshly critical of Trump. I know you're kind of middle of the road. I know Alex is pretty positive by and large. But we look at things like this and we're kind of left puzzled. We're like, why is this person still at the DOJ? Why is Lindsey Graham your golfing buddy? Why are these things going on? This is it's not winning, right? This isn't MAGA.
No, it's baffling. It's utterly baffling. Like, I'm not, you say I'm lukewarm. It's like, I just don't get it. I just don't even understand right. What he's doing at this point. Why are these people still in power? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
This is from Julie Kelly, I believe. Again, this is from the Gateway Pundit article about this. She says, you know, a day or two later, Jocelyn Ballantyne goes into court, claims that communication represents classified secrets, classified information, and should be withheld from the jury, which, of course, Judge Tim Kelly went along with. That's just one example of what she did, leading this team of prosecutors against the Proud Boys, who were, of course, then convicted of malicious conspiracy. She then went ahead and tried to throw the book at them and put some of them in prison for life, like Enrique Tarrio, who ended up getting a 22-year prison sentence until, of course, they were all commuted
by the
president.
Never Antifa. No. We can't treat Antifa like that. We can't prosecute them like that. We can't even put someone who, you know, who's a good person, we can't put them in power. We got to put the worst of the worst in charge. And this is what I'm disappointed in. Look, I was the biggest booster, the biggest supporter. I pulled the cross out of my shirt in 2024. I told people to vote for Trump, but we didn't vote for Trump, the person, the man. We voted for Trump, the ideals, the ideal or the idea, right? And from what I've seen, I've stopped expecting wins and I've just started to hope for less losses at this point. And it's kind of left me stun locked, right? And I'm not sure if you're going to get into this on the show. I'm sure you got a ton of different clips pulled up. The one ray of sunshine, the one little ray of sunshine I see is how we're treating the EU right now.
That
I'm a
is
big
nice.
Fan. Yeah, I'm a big
that
fan.
That is nice. But I also want to be allies with Europe. I don't want to be enemies with Europe. Their leadership is bad. Their leadership has to be undone. But the reason I want their leadership gone is because the people of Europe need help. They need to be rescued. So I'm still, because what I'm seeing right now is a ton of like deliberate division where you've got like, okay, we're going to divide the Europeans from the Americans. We're going to divide the Republicans from
Balkanization.
Yeah, it's all Balkanization. So as much as I love Trump going after Europe, I don't want to see it misconstrued as hating the European people, because I think there needs to be...
Certainly not. We hate their unelected leadership. Right?
Exactly.
We hate Ursula von der Leyen. We hate Keir Starmer. We hate people like Donald Tusk. We hate these types that are warmongers, and they know, hey, we're not actually going to have to fight or go to war. We're going to use American weapons, and because America's a member of NATO, we're going to get America wrapped into it. And they're going to do all the heavy lifting. I have seen this posting from the European bots and the European leaders. There's this one guy, I'm blanking on what his name is. He's always in the gym lifting weights, preparing to fight Russia. I mean, come on. Isn't that the silliest thing in the world? So you got your politicians living fat and working out and probably taking steroids to get all huge. And the people are starving and can't afford their energy bill. You can't make it up.
And they're talking about going to war with Russia. They don't even have an army. Like, what are they even talking about?
Right, they don't have an army. They don't have an army.
Here, this might be a good time to get into this, because it's the same all over the Western world, but this is particularly from Sweden, which is one of those countries. My God, what they've done to Sweden. So this is from somebody named...
Isn't that the rape capital?
Well, nowadays it is, yeah. At Career Flex, this is the people's therapist. Somebody in Sweden, he said, my boys and I went over the original Swedish school complaints today. This is genuinely what they wrote down. When you see what this escalated into, you'll understand how the machine works. Okay, so they got two boys in the Swedish school system. This is what they say. Our boys either did or were the following.
Too competitive in games. Sometimes tired in class.
Sometimes they're tired in class. Sometimes they did not wear sweaters. Sometimes they spoke English even after learning Swedish words. At times they took their coats off at recess during games. Sometimes they climbed trees after school in the forest. Is that strictly forbidden? They're too distracted by technology. They would run and tackle and wrestle each other if they saw each other between the classes. That's strictly prohibited.
They're not allowed to do that. No fun. No fun.
No fun. They would sometimes yell or hoot at each other if passing by each other's class. Atlas, who's 10, would stand too close to the teachers, while Silas, who's 12, would remain too distant. Atlas talked too frequently with adults in school, while Silas remained too quiet. Atlas had picked up thin sheets of ice from puddles, crashing them over his head to the laughter and bafflement of the kids, but the horror of the teachers.
That's just comedy, folks. You can't write comedy better than that.
That's called prop comedy. They don't understand that in Sweden.
Finish the list. I got a point to make here.
Okay, after school, once, they did not get on the train and instead chose to walk a mile home. How dare they? A ball was kicked onto the roof, and Silas climbed a tree to get it down without asking permission. And finally, they were not sorry about any of this.
Based.
And were not taking their teachers' corrections seriously.
Incredibly
How
based.
How dare these European boys.
Wow. I mean, here's the point that I'm going to make. I oftentimes, Harrison, they call me a black pillar. They say you're too negative about America, this, that, and the other thing. You're too negative about our society. Europe is the only place where they're way more screwed than we are. I mean, like, you look at an American high school, like, these things would just be like, eh, like, it's normal. It is what
it is. We got bigger problems to worry about.
At least we still have some freedom, folks. At least, we have a lot of freedom. We need to not only be negative in the sense of being critical on things, we need to be positive about what we do still have. These people, they literally live in slavery. And it's a slave mind culture of failure mentality.
A slave mind culture of failure mentality is exactly what it is. And like even just like not even just like absorbing all of this at once, you just get this idea of like, screw y'all. You're too quiet. You're too loud. You move around too much. You're not moving around enough.
You have stood too close to the teacher.
Now you're standing too far away from the teacher. You must remain a medium equidistance.
6 feet. 6 meters.
6 meters alone. Well, what's the Swedish? Swedish is like
what's
this.
What's the freaking metric system? We don't know.
we
don't know.
You must be 340 centimeters away at all times.
Right.
No, it's just like, okay, so you're not allowed to climb onto a tree to get a ball off the roof. Like, it's literally just kids being kids.
Right.
Goofing around, playing around, hooting and hollering at each other. It's just like, they are literally just like taking little boys and just like the spirits refuse to be crushed. Well, we have to stop this.
You know, it's almost a good thing because we as Americans, we get to see the end of the experiment that's been run, right? Because Europe is end stage, right? Like they're going to be replaced. It's over. They don't have guns like we do to fight back. They don't have rights to speak out like we do to fight back. They're cooked. And while you say we want to be allies with them and the European people are great, I agree. Our ancestors come from Europe, right? These governments, it's 1984 George Orwell stuff, and they're living in that world. And if we're truly about exporting democracy and liberty and American values, if we're going to Venezuela, why can't we go to Brussels? Why can't we go to London? Why can't we go to Berlin again, right? We did it one time.
That's a great point. Why is the USS Gerald Ford not parked off the coast of England?
I agree.
Menacing them and stopping the dinghies from getting there.
I'm calling for it now. You know, this is an interesting topic. I'm not sure if the crew will be able to pull up anything on this. There's this guy called the MMA Guru. Do you know who the MMA Guru is?
I don't. I have not heard of
him. All right. He is this guy. He's the most popular MMA streamer in the entire world. And of course, he lives in London in the UK. And he's been on the receiving end of a hell of a lot of censorship, right? And the thing that he got in trouble for saying was that people from Dagestan are inbred and they have the second highest inbreeding quotient of anywhere across the entire world besides Pakistan. But oh no, you can't say that. You're racist. You're racist if you say that. You can't call them inbred, even though they are. But see, us sitting in America, we can call them inbred all day. You do that over there, they'll fine you. They'll shut down your bank. He's a lot like Fuentes now, right? Where he can't bank and he can't actually make money in the same way. So we have the opportunity as Americans to speak out against this because, hey, we're all going to be the MMA guru. We're all going to be these Europeans. It's coming over here, folks. But what they have is a far worse breed of immigrant than what we have. Sure, we got people coming from Latin America, majority, you know, and there's issues there. There's cultural assimilation issues there. But, you know, by and large, they are Christian people, right? In those nations in Latin America and South America, they fought for their independence and won against colonial powers much in the same way that we did. Not saying I want them all here, but hey, at least it's from, you know, at least it's not a radical Muslim lens, right?
Right.
You got the Somalis, you got the Afghanis, you got the people from Eastern Europe and the real bad Muslim regions all going over and swarming Europe.
Yep.
And if you speak out about it like the MMA guru does, you get censored, you get shut down, you get debanked.
Yeah, it's outrageous, and it is significantly worse there. And the, you know, I hope it's not too late. I don't think it's too late, and I think the people of the UK are finally like starting to understand the seriousness of the situation they're in. In fact, we have clip 32 here. This seems like the start of it, and we may be seeing a lot more videos like this. Clip 32.
Let's watch it.
This is the uprising of the English. Let's watch.
We are the new construction industry movement. And once again, we have been let down by the UK government, and Rachel Reeves has made the British taxpayer a legitimate target. Welcome to Great Britain, where the working man lifts the country. He works, he pays, he sacrifices. Rachel Reeves promises growth, yet somehow the only thing growing is council tax and the price of cheese. Hotels filled with migrants, all bills covered, three meals, warm rooms, paid by the man eating cold beans after a night shift. Then we have Barry, who hasn't worked since twisting his ankle in 2015, but his benefits arrive like Christmas every month without fail. The working man carries a nation that forgets him. He funds a system that drains him, but they say it's fine, they need another hotel. And while we're holding out hotel rooms or 3 minutes at a dentist, there's another soldier forgotten in the fog. The British farmer. The man who feeds the country, yet barely feeds himself after the supermarket price cuts and fuel hikes. He wakes up before dawn, works through storms that would evacuate cities, and sells his low flavour for less than a London pint.
You know, I was expecting something a hell of a lot more extreme, but they're just reading the facts. And like, it's a clandestine operation to even read the facts and stand up for your country and for your nation and call these people disgusting animals, which is what they are. They're inbred, disgusting animals. They worship a pedophile prophet who married a six-year-old and raped her when she was nine. That's the truth. That's what Islam is. And it's a religion of conquering and subjugation. It's, hey, we're going to take over. We're not going to assimilate to you. You're going to assimilate to us. And if you don't assimilate, we're going to kill you. And if you're a British dad and your daughter gets raped and you tweet that out about the guy, you call him an animal, or hey, maybe you say it to a friend or something, you go to jail for 2 years. I mean, I saw a clip, and I'm sure they'll be able to find it, of that British magistrate, the ridiculous judges they have. Such a joke of a country. Let's just start off with that. 1776, 1812, two-time champs, by the way. Let's bring that up really quick. You see this clip of this judge, and he goes, "This offense is so serious," talking about immigrants not wanting to have to pay for their health care, "that you must spend 20 months in prison."
Yeah.
And like, he's proud of himself. He gets off on it. He gets off on the death of his culture and his country because he's the magistrate. He's in charge. He wears the powdered wig. This is why we had a rebellion against these people, folks. They need to have a rebellion of their own.
They really do. And, you know, I like to see, we have this.
That's a different one. But look at the ridiculous outfit. I mean, come on. That guy should be laughed out of town.
The whole thing is absurd. Yeah. That guy got a 6-month suspended sentence for because he was a footballer, a soccer player. But yeah, other people, and I think the guy you're mentioning has like a young child. So like, you're literally depriving a child of their father for like 3 years because he posted something online. It's horrific, and it seems like the British have had this long hangover kind of thing where they like still believe in their system. So they, you know, they want to, they'll go, "Well, I won't break any laws, but I'll talk about it in the ways that I can." And it's like, that's not going to work, guys. You need what we just saw. You need masks. And you need, like, statements. And honestly, that wasn't even enough. Dude,
like, I was expecting some crazy, like, KKK-esque thing that I'd have to be like, "Whoa, I disavow. This is a little crazy." They're literally just stating the facts about what's going on, and that's how bad it is. And, I mean, you're talking about a country where they have knife laws, where you can't have a pointed knife. It's illegal to have a pointed knife. But it's legal for Muhammad to come over and rape your daughter. I mean, he gets a subsidy for that. Right?
No, literally. And that's what I just think, you know, the people in these countries need to understand what time it is. Need to understand that, like, you're not in charge anymore. If you want to resist, you're going to have to do it clandestinely. You're going to have to actually, like, get groups of people, swear to silence, and, like, start collaborating behind the scenes. and being very, very paranoid about your operational security, because you're not gonna be able to do this openly. You're not, you to this day, like at this time, you can't, you know, campaign openly about this stuff. You're gonna have to basically, you know, mimic the Hezbollah model. Like, you just need leadership that's literally under, like, literally underground somewhere where they can't be gotten to.
Well, I guess, do they have a boomer problem like we have a boomer problem? Is that why that's going on over there? Because the old people are like, oh, it's the Britain I know, and it's never going to change. And
I think there
how
is,
it is
at least some of that, for sure.
I mean, it seems to be a worldwide cultural disease in the West of the boomer that actually got to experience the Elysium of, like, the 60s, 70s, 80s in these countries, where they were the most phenomenal and badass and amazing place to visit, right? But then you go to their grandchildren, go to people like us or people our age that live in these countries, and they literally live in hell world. But because these boomers have all the wealth, they're still able to live in this kind of, you know, faux world they've built for themselves while everything around them crumbles. And they don't care about the birth rate. They don't care about the taxation. They don't care about the conspiracy against rights against every single citizen in their country. They don't care. Why would they? They already won the game. And this is why young people specifically have to wake up and get politically active.
100%. And, you know, I was talking to some friends about this, and there seems like it's almost like we have to decide what we want, because if we're trying to just, like, take over the systems, then you need, like, older people that can be, like, examples, that can be, you know, people for young people to look up to and model their lives after. But if we want revolution, we don't need the old people. We need, I'm too old. You might be too old already.
Yeah.
We were talking about this, and somebody brought up Nick Fuentes. It's like, even Fuentes is too, I mean, if you look back at the actual revolutionary movements that overthrew countries, even going back to 1776, all of them were like 18, 19
right.
years old. You need young, radical men who take it seriously and aren't listening to the older people, honestly.
Let's walk through the events here really quick. Let's walk through a possible future for Europe and what I believe might happen. I don't think they're going to stop. I think the U.S. will broker some sort of peace deal with Russia, or in the case of, hey, we'll just agree to stop sending weapons over there. The Europeans will continue to do what they've been doing, which is trying to arm Ukraine, even though they don't have the ability or munitions or even money to do so anymore. In one case, they issued $170 billion loan of money that doesn't exist and isn't on their books. They're just making the fake money, and they're saying, when we win, the Russians, the frozen assets, we'll just pay it off with that.
Right.
So they're going to keep on bankrupting themselves and eventually get to a point where Europe is the new Somalia.
Yeah.
You know, where Europe is the new Afghanistan. And only then will the people wake up and they'll rise up against their leadership. And then Keir Starmer probably won't exist anymore, you know, in the physical plane.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that happens before it's too late. Obviously, they are still desperate to start a war. I've got a stack of papers that, you know, half it's about.
Well, 75% of all wars ever fought on the globe have been fought in Europe. And I've seen them kind of flex this on the internet as a point of pride, as why we should continue to fund Ukraine, as like, we're the most warlike, tough people. No, if you're really this tough and this brave, rise up and overthrow your oppressor.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. But I mean, clearly, you know, we still stand with Ukraine, says Starmer, as leaders hold Downing Street talks with Zelensky. Like, they are
Down really, Street, Down Syndrome Street.
Down Syndrome Street. But, like, obviously, all of what they're doing already would only be accelerated by a war. If they're trying to get rid of the European people, well, sending them all to die on a, you know, Russian plane somewhere.
Yeah, frozen steppe.
Yeah, it was is a very efficient way to do it. You get all the control that you want instead of, you know, censoring because language is bad. You're censoring because the enemy propaganda is coming
right.
in. I mean, you can censor even more and justify it even more and have even less transparency. So, yeah, sorry, Protestant Hezbollah might be the future of the UK. And people are laughing at that going, why is he holding a shovel? Because they're construction workers. We're talking about the construction jobs that are being stolen from them. We'll be right back with more with Rex Jones, your phone calls as well.
My fellow info warriors, we are having right now in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction. Or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this, we'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever. Works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So do the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Folks, this is the War Room. Rex Jones in studio with me.
Shout out MMA Guru. We love you, MMA Guru. And we love you.
We're going to take your calls this segment as well. I do want to tell you about thealexjonesstore.com. 12 days of Christmas sale. 40% off Bovine Colostrum Plus is happening right now, but that ends as soon as we run out of Bovine Colostrum Plus. And regardless, the sale ends Tuesday, December 9th. Try Bovine Colostrum Plus for 40% off, or become a monthly subscriber and get 50% off every month. And we, you know, hold back products to make sure that it gets delivered. This offer ends Tuesday, December 9th, as the 12 days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com.
You know, I was watching the show, and I was like, y'all have the creatine gummies and not just the creatine now? I immediately had to get myself a bottle, so I ran over here and snagged one. And let me tell you, I've always been a big fan of creatine, but it's hard to remember to put a scooper in to the bottle and then take it every day. These gummies are delicious, and it's very easy to get your 5-gram requirement. It's nano, it's emulsified, it gets into the cells, it gets into the body, it does everything you want, everything you need. I'm a big fan of that. I'll be buying that for as long as it's around.
Ultimate Creatine Gummies on sale now. Buy one, get 30% off. Buy two, get 35% off. Buy three, get 40% off. The new Ultimate Creatine Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Yeah, I want everything to be in gummy form. I'd be happy eating every meal in gummy form if I had to. I always take the Irish Sea Moss and the Shilajit gummies. Those are my favorite.
Irish Sea Moss gummies hit different. They're really good.
Yeah, I agree. I take them for a little pick-me-up. So we are just watching, or we just scrolled by a video, and we have it pulled in here. The headlines today, European leaders walk tightrope between backing Ukraine and keeping U.S. on board. Zelensky's government sabotaged oversight, allowing corruption in Ukraine to fester. This is actually just from yesterday from the New York Times.
There is no corruption in Ukraine. It is a perfect country, and I have golden toilet.
A perfect country. All of the money goes to killing Russians.
Over the past 4 years, a New York Times investigation found the Ukrainian government systematically sabotaged that oversight, allowing graft to flourish. Who would imagine? Who could imagine?
Well, I mean, you look at some of these people's wives running around Rolls Royces and Mercedes with the fake tits and the $1,000, $10,000 outfit. I mean, it's obvious where all the money is going to, right? I mean, there aren't even weapons to buy anymore. So, of course, you'd steal it. And, oh, look at the most liberal democracy in Europe, guys. Look at the most moral army in the world besides Israel. What do they do when they need people to send to the front line? Well, their own young men won't fight for them. So what better solution than to throw them into a van, tase them, punch them in the kidneys, punch them in the liver, and hand them a gun and make them go run out and get blown up by a drone? Because, hey, at least that's one less drone, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. And look, just because a father says goodbye to his wife and children in the morning, not expecting expecting to come home for dinner, only to be thrown in a van and sent to be fodder on the front lines, never even getting, say, goodbye to his family. I mean, that's a small price to pay.
And the thing that makes it so disgusting is, like, we have authoritarian regimes all across the world. We look at China, Africa, South America. They're all kinds of horrible places. None of these places represent themselves. Not even North Korea represents itself as enlightened as the Europeans. The Europeans literally go, we are the best. We have the highest standard of living and the human rights, and it is a utopia, and it is the most wonderful place to send your money. And meanwhile, they're literally like, they make Hitler look good. They make Hitler look good. They look like the new Hitler, right? That's what I see.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, the reason that we wanted to start off by showing you these videos of these brutal press gangs, the unwilling conscription of these young Ukrainian men, is because apparently there's a way to get around this. Apparently there's a little trick.
A tiny hat trick
Ukrainian men are using, apparently, to get out of their patriotic duty of being fed into the meat grinder of Russia, so that Zelensky can buy yet another house, or that his associates can steal $100 million and flee to Israel.
This is, as Alex calls it, second, third, fourth order thinking. This is high-level thinking right here. When you deploy this technique, you're showing that you are an intellectual. This pretty much is the only way to avoid getting blown up by an FPV drone. Either find a really tiny hat or one of the really giant big ones. They have the cylindrical ones. You put them on. People are pretending to be Orthodox Jews, young men in Ukraine, in order to not be recruited into the meat grinder. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, who's the protected class?
And it's also extremely interesting because at the beginning of the Ukraine war, Israel sent a bunch of jets to fly all of the Jews out of Ukraine. So
That makes sense.
The Ukraine war starts. Israel does a giant airlift to get anybody that wants to out of Ukraine to not fight the war. Then they are fighting this war. They kill a million Ukrainian men. They're literally running out of men. A lot of Ukrainian men have fled the country, and refused to come back. So they have these press gangs. So guys start dressing up like Orthodox Jews to get away from the press gangs, because Jews in Ukraine are not subject to conscription. And so now, to deal with that situation, the Ukrainian police are now checking the papers of Jews to make sure they really are Jews, because if they're not, it's into the van they go. Let's go to clip number 33 here. This is Ukrainian police in Odessa. Let's go ahead and roll it. So there you go. You see a Jewish guy in traditional Jewish garb having his papers checked by police, and this was posted on RT, Russia, today.
They really are the reverse Nazis. It's pretty crazy.
checking your papers to make sure
the test.
To make sure you are a Jew, so you aren't subject to be sent to the front line. So RT posted this saying, Ukrainian police in Odessa begin stopping and checking the documents of men in Jewish religious attire. This follows a recent trend of Ukrainian men disguising themselves as in Jewish clothing to avoid mobilization, to avoid conscription.
What's the average age of a Ukrainian soldier? Because I know this fact.
Oh, I don't know.
You know what it is? It's 48.
It's like, yeah, really old.
It's 48. You know, that's normal, right? Really that's a conflict that you can win when you're fighting with 48-year-old men. And the way the Russians look at it is they go, look, we have a three-man team. We have fire support. We got drone support. We got artillery support. The three-man team comes in and kills an entire squadron of people, or they kill close to 100 people with the drone and fire support. And then a six-man team comes in and holds that position, and the three-man team take a break. The Russians have figured out how to beat these guys. It's only a matter of time. And no matter how many young men you throw into the meat grinder, it's not going to change anything. They are doomed. And what does Europe do? Europe puts its head in the sand. Europe censors its own people. Europe sends its own people to jail. Europe imports all the migrants, and they send more money to Ukraine, because Ukraine is everything that represents the failure of Europe. Ukraine is a failed state, which will then be redeveloped by special interests and money groups that'll come in, and they'll take over the country, and they'll run it, and they'll bring in the third world migrants. And I'm sure the new population of Ukrainians will probably be, it'll probably be new Somalia, right?
Oh, no, literally there are already NGOs who are bringing in Africans to Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. It all checks out. And you got to look at the pre-war population. Ukraine, I believe, is around 48 million, because people that have left and people that have died, it's now around 25 million. Hey, look at somewhere in the third world. I mean, hey, Pakistan could fix that real quick, right? I mean, don't we want Pakistan in Eastern Europe? Wouldn't that be nice?
No,
I mean, hey.
They're running the playbook. I mean, that is literally what they're doing.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, it, again, it's crazy. It would be like, I mean, it's like beyond any anti-Semitic like trope you could come up with. So Jews are just not conscripted in Ukraine. They just don't have to fight the war. And so Ukrainian men are dressing up as Jews in hopes that they don't get thrown into a van and sent to the front lines. Like, it's dystopian as hell.
Right. It's horrible. It's a horrible situation.
Hey, if I knew we were talking about this, I would have pulled in the video. But so there's this story. Zelensky associate at crux of Ukrainian corruption case said to have fled to Israel. This is from November of this year, so about a month ago, before revelation of a multi-million-dollar embezzlement and kickback scandal involving Ukraine's state nuclear energy company brought his name to the forefront. Timur Mindich was a shadowy presence, navigating deals and moving behind the scenes with unseen influence, known to many yet rarely spoken of. So long story short, this dude embezzled $100 million and then fled to Israel when it was discovered. He's a Ukrainian oligarch.
I mean, you got to respect the hustle, don't you? You got to respect
it. It's impressive.
I mean, they're making out like bandits.
I'll give them that. It's very impressive. And then it was funny because people pointed out that, you know, Zelensky got his start as a comedian, and he was in this show where he played
play piano with my penis, but I also play president on TV like Frank Underwood.
House of Cards.
He was the Frank Underwood. And in that show, they have a plot line where one of the corrupt guys dresses up like an Orthodox Jew to, you know, escape and claim that he's like going to Israel or something. And it was just weird because it's this, you know,
well,
fictional
life imitates
video.
Art, right?
Yeah, that just basically is exactly what actually happened here. And I think Zelensky's parents live in Israel. So you've got like an Israeli or, you know, a Jewish Zelensky with a...
get that off the screen, please.
Kolomoyshik or whatever his name is, the you know, Israeli oligarch who basically started that show and brought Zelensky into the presidency. And then you've got all the Jews fleeing Ukraine as soon as the war starts. But I guess some are still there, but are, you know, not... conscripted. It's like, is this really like the heavenly Jerusalem? Have you heard of that idea?
No, explain this to me.
That Ukraine is like a backup plan for Israel, or that it'll be like an extension of Israel, that it's like the homeland of the Ashkenazi Jews, so it'll be like the heaven, they call it the heavenly Jerusalem
project.
That's
interesting. You know, the Poles, the Lithuanians, Ukrainians, the Russians are all condensed in that one area, and that is where the Ashkenazi groups are, you know, related to.
The Khazarian Empire was, yeah.
Very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. Let's go out to your calls now. We've got Dave in FEMA Region 9 who's called in about the dystopian nightmare we all live in. Dave, thanks so much for calling in. You're on the air.
I sound like a bandit.
You know, we've been...
Hello?
Oh, hey, how you doing? Dave, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Sorry about that.
Okay, go ahead.
We've talked before, and I wanted to read this because everything you and Rex are talking about in the callers of the first hour... a Bible verse, Deuteronomy 28:43. Foreigners who live in your land will gain more and more power while you gradually lose yours. Verse 44, they will have money to lend to you, but you will have none to lend to them. In the end, they will be your rulers. So what happens is the lamestream propaganda media push this grievance culture narrative. and they get everybody angry at everybody else. And that's what we're living through now, this dystopian nightmare. So I'm not surprised at all that the Kalergi plan and Cloward and Piven strategy are uniting to really destroy our civilization. And it's not just us. The UK, of course, as you know, has been lost for a decade. Raheem Kassam came out with a book called No Go Zones in 2017. And I think Europe is lost, and I think the United States of apathy. We're overachievers. We're maybe 6 months behind.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's blackpilling, but there's something to that.
Well, I mean, why can't we liberate them, right? I mean, if we're going to attack Maduro for being so evil and so crazy and bringing in all the fentanyl, why can't we stop the white genocide in Europe? If Trump cares about white genocide in South Africa, supposedly, why don't we care about the actual white genocide, which is going on in Europe, which is, like you talk about, the foreigners that come to your land will eventually replace you and rule you. And I mean, this is just true throughout history. You look at the Roman Empire as an example, right? The Germans, like, took over.
Yep.
And that's because they were let in, right?
Yeah. Well, and... I mean, the fact that Christians have dropped this part of their history, that even the Pope now, I don't know if you saw this, the
be
latest
nice man.
Yeah. It's basically the be nice man, gospel.
The pothead Pope.
Yeah. Yeah. Pope Leo got asked about, you know, fears over Islam in Europe and is basically like, well, it's fine. Just don't worry about it. It's like, what are you talking about? Why does our church tell us to lay down while foreigners with a foreign religion start to rule over us? It's absurd.
All right. And this is one of the areas where, you know, at least some Protestants get it more correct than the Catholics is no, like they do not worship the same God. They do not worship the Trinity. Allah is unlike anything in creation and he has no sons. So man, therefore, cannot be created in the image of God. And there cannot be Jesus Christ as the Son of God because Allah has no sons. So on its face, it's a completely different religion. But because of documents like Vatican II, and you can look at people like Jay Dyer who get into this, the Catholic Church has really descended into the pit of Hades, and they're pushing all this stuff, man.
Yep. Yes, they are, and it's absolutely pathetic. Thank you so much for the call, Dave. Let's go to John in Florida now. Go ahead, John. You're on the area, I guess, just in general about the way things are. Oh, John dropped. So we'll go to Michael. Oh, in Australia. I didn't realize you were in Australia, Michael. I'm sorry.
Good day, mate.
I'm sorry. I would have gone to you earlier. Thanks for calling in, Michael. You're on the air.
Thanks, Harrison. And Rex, good to hear from you. I've been wanting to speak on your program for a long time. I've been working on a different political system, which is based, it's very much like meritocracy, where people vote for what they want and not for a politician. Because when you give one man more than one vote, or woman for that matter, they can corrupt it. Any lobbyist can come and force them or bribe them to change their vote. And so if I may plug, I've got my website is clearparty.com. .com.au. That's C-L-E-A-R. Yes, and I've got three. I'm a mad scientist. I've been working on over unity, you know, perpetual motion since I was a young lad. In 1989, I realised I couldn't sell it, and I've had to I've had this frog in my throat for the last 35 years because I haven't been able to release what I've been able to produce. But I thought about this political system back in 2015. I brought it forward to my friends. And they said, look, so what's the whole aim? I said, well, this is how it is. We have a referendum once a month. 75% of the people must agree. I mean, mates were laughing. This is the Baker's Dozen back in Avondale Heights in Melbourne. They said, mate, we can't get 10 guys to agree on anything. I said, hear me out. I said, you all agreed to come to Mike's on a fight on a Thursday night. They said, yes. You all agreed to play Texas Hold'em. They said, yes. And I rattled out about 10 things just then, which they all agreed on. And they said, yeah, but that was obvious. And I said, yes, this is how politics has to be treated. It has to be an obvious yes, otherwise it gets thrown in the rubbish pile. When you get wise people coming together, they will make the right decision. And that's why I wanted to promote the Clear Party system.
Well, thank you. Read out that domain again. Yeah, clearparty.au, right?
Clearparty.com.au.
Clearparty.com.au. And also, if you may, Harrison or Rex, if your guys, after you hang me up, could you please ask them to give me an email where I can send you a copy of my book, Mystery 17. I think you're going to really like it, and I'm sure Alex will enjoy it too.
Well, my DMs are open on Twitter. That's the best place to reach out to me, at Harrison H. Smith. So if you want to DM me on Twitter, I'll go through my inbox today and look for it. But how is your idea different than just direct democracy? Because I'm trying to minimize democracy over here.
I want him to answer. I like the idea of public referendums. You know, this is something I look at parliamentary systems of government over in Europe and Australia, and you can say that it's controlled and it's got a lot of problems. But ultimately, the public should be able to vote against a politician if they're not doing a good job. Yeah. I do believe this. It shouldn't be up to the Congress or the Senate necessarily to impeach. I think that we should get a voice. I agree with him on that level. I think that's an interesting argument to make.
So how does your system deviate from just direct democracy, or is that sort of what you're describing, Michael?
It is pretty much what I'm describing. I had a friend of mine, because I was going out during the protests and I was sharing the idea, and one of my colleagues would turn around and say, well, you should call it total direct democracy. And I said, democracy's been bastardized. The name's been kind of like utilized adversely over many years. And so what is democracy today? It's not what was originally designed for, basically. When you put too much power in one person's hands, so therefore you eliminate the minister and you just put an executor in place, like a family trust. If the executor doesn't do what they're told, they go to jail. I'm a plumber. If I don't do my job correctly, I don't get paid. If I break code, I go to jail.
Right.
Yet all these politicians have been given some weird-ass immunity. I mean, no one deserves immunity. Not even the king.
Yes. You know? Yes, indeed. And that's supposed to be what our Western ethos is all about, is that no one is above the law, right? But you look at this cabal that's kind of grown up around the bureaucracy, really, that fourth branch of government. They all agree they want to stay in power. They like their jobs. And God help them, nothing else is going to change unless we do something about it. So I really appreciate that. And I think that the crew is telling us that you should reach out to Maria Z.
Yeah,
she's also in Australia.
She's from Australia. She lives here now, but she's a very large voice. So yeah, Maria Z on X would be another person, good person to reach out to. Yeah, look, stuff like that's kind of happening. I mean, if you looked into the Nepal uprising, like apparently they chose a new government system on Discord, and basically the military said, "Look, we treat this as legitimate. So you know, whoever you choose to lead, we'll follow their orders." But I wonder if you looked at that, Michael, and saw the way the Nepalese sort of organized their government after they had a very short but effective revolution, the Gen Z rebellion there. Did you look at that at all?
I didn't hook much into that, but I know in Bhutan they have the happiness counter with their metric.
Right.
And this is the problem, because what happens, as you know, we've got a pendulum. The pendulum swings normally from one side to the other, left, right, male, female. We've got to make that pendulum stop smack bang in the middle.
Mm.
And it's like when you see, for instance, you've got a copper block and you've got a magnet on a pendulum, and the magnet comes down, it just stops dead smack bang right at the middle. It doesn't bounce.
Mm.
We've got to stay in the middle. When the moment we allow any extremist group to come forward, that's where we've got the problems, and this is where the 75% majority is a good standard.
Yeah, I like that. And maybe you could add something where, like, if you vote for something, you agree to pay for it. That's that.
I like the idea of the pendulum as a metaphor, and I hadn't thought about this before, but you make this interesting point. Left, right, it swings. What we're really hoping for is for things to stop swinging, for results to actually happen, right?
Right.
Actually, the things that we want to come about to actually come about. But oh no, we get red meat for the base, never. It's always just, it's rhetoric is what we're fed.
Right. Yeah, very, very interesting idea, Michael. Thank you. So that's clearparty.com.au. I'll check that out, and I look forward to your message in my DMs, Michael. Thank you very much for that. And for that call, and by the way, I'm sorry for having you hold for so long, even though we're toll-free here. I try to go to the international callers first. So thank you for that, Michael from Australia. We love getting calls from overseas. We're running out of time, and I want to get to a few more. We've got Tim in California, who's called out. New stories on Zoram Mandani. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. afternoon, gentlemen, and especially to Rex.
Howdy.
I've never had the opportunity to say hello to Rex before. It's great to see that you've grown into who you've become. I hear you talking like you're a chemist or whatever. You know all the details of everything. It's just amazing. I'm so impressed. I'm so proud of you. I know everyone else is too. Yeah, the reason I called is just there was two stories that broke over the weekend about Zoran Mamdani, and each one of them were, you know, equally scary. The first one was on Saturday, where Zoran, both of these are in the New York Post. The first one is Zoran Mamdani sparks outrage by tapping radical who praised notorious cop killer Assata Shakur for his education transition team. So he's going to let this gal that was praising a cop killer be part of his education team. And you can read the article, you know, and her name is Zakaya Shakir Ansari and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. The other story also broke this weekend on Sunday. You know, Zoran Mamdani, you know, he made a video and he's giving advice on how to thwart or evade ICE in video messages, and he's telling how everyone should stand up to the Fed and teaching everyone basically how to break all of our laws and so forth. And this guy is going to be, you know, the mayor of the largest city in the United States of America and the financial capital of the world.
Pretty freaky stuff. Yeah, I saw the thing about, I thought I had it printed out, but I couldn't find it in my papers here. Yeah, the guy that he tapped to, you know, help his transition team, who's like a 7-time felon or something ridiculous.
Nice.
Literally hiring like, you know, career criminals for his transition team and instructing people how to circumvent ICE. Yeah, the whole thing's ridiculous. Well, why do you think he was so friendly with Trump? Well, what do you think that was about, Rex?
Well, I mean, you know, I think at a certain level, even if there are people that he doesn't like, Trump does want to be on, quote unquote, the winning team. So even if you oppose him, if you win, you know, he's going to, hey, you did a good job in that race there.
Right, right.
I'll meet with you. I'll talk to you. Ultimately, I think it's a big club and we're not in it. That's what I truly believe about the whole situation. I know maybe we disagree on this a little bit, but I look at it and I go, they're just trying to create a new power structure, and he's kind of that new Obama type figure, right? He's ethnically ambiguous. He's racially ambiguous. He's religiously ambiguous. He's a Muslim, but his wife doesn't cover herself up. He smokes weed. He's everything they want, right? He's both everything and nothing at the same time. And you know, I've heard people like to do this since people be very positive about him, but even they will admit, hey, he's controlled, right?
Yeah.
Like there's nowhere you can go where the person isn't controlled.
I mean, he's only been a citizen for 6 years. It's outrageous. Rex Jones, follow him on
Uganda!
X. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z on X. And we'll see you tomorrow, folks. That's going to do it for us here at the War Room. Harrison Smith signing off. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.
InfoWarriors.com. Tomorrow's news today.
We got a sale going today and tomorrow, and it's 40% off on the bovine colostrum, and we can't even keep it stocked. It is a private label of the top bovine colostrum in the country, the highest rated. It's so good for your nails, your hair, your teeth, your bones, your body, your immune system. It's just superfood and superfoods. The first 2 weeks of the milk put off by a mammal is just unbelievably good for everybody. Everybody in the winter should really be on this if you want to boost your immune system. It's 40% off today and tomorrow. That's a flash sale at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have the new amazing creatine gummies with the highest quality nano creatine, super concentrated, in stock as well. It's amazing at thealexjonesstore.com.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything. The wars of the info, the evil of men. The scrolls have been written again and again. Souls are taken, some are spared. Heroes become of those that dare to fight for their freedoms and break the chains. As the old runes whisper through timeless domain, through fire and shadow, through thunder and dread, the prophecy rises from realms of the dead.
The dark eye watches, but it cannot bind, for the strength of the free lives in the hearts and minds. I'll break these beasts to the light we find as the dawn of the chosen begins to unwind.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.